Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North. I'm Elise Quinn. Well, Russia's activities in the Arctic are increasingly attracting the attention of the world community. Some say Russia is remilitarizing the Arctic. Others say rebuilding decaying Soviet-era infrastructure is necessary to better serve increasing traffic on the Northern Sea Route. On Saturday, Britain's Defense Secretary Gavin Williamson cited Russia as he announced a new Arctic defense strategy with a series of measures, including closer integration of the Marines with Norway's military. But joining us today to help us better understand the significance of this announcement and what we should maybe be paying attention to is Richard Powell. He's the director of the Masters of Philosophy Polar Studies at the University of Cambridge's Scott Polar Research Institute, and that's where we've reached him today. And just for our listeners, there is some construction going on near his office, so if you hear anything in the background, that's what it is. Richard Powell, hello.
Hello.
Now, first, give us just a little bit of context. How significant is the announcement?
The announcement's significant in respect of Britain wanting to, respond to its place in the defence in the Arctic and the North Atlantic. And it is a direct response to House of Commons Defence Select Committee earlier this year in August published a long-awaited report called On Thin Ice, which was about UK defence in the Arctic. And this was an attempt to highlight, or this announcement by Gavin Williamson, the Defence Secretary, was an attempt to highlight that and to formally respond and to put it Britain in the Arctic in the context of relations between the United Kingdom and Russia over recent months.
And how should we understand the timing of this now? Is there anything going on in UK politics that would suggest why the announcement was made now?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there are those wider things about anxiety about Britain's relations with Russia in over recent months, which I'm sure your listeners are aware of, and also the pressure from within Parliament and particularly within elements of the Conservative Party. But obviously this has to be seen in the context that this statement was made by Gavin Williamson at the Conservative Party's annual conference, and there's definitely a wider issue about the response of the Conservative Party to Brexit and basically a desire for what Britain might or what Britain's international role might look like after Brexit or post-Brexit, but also how a desire to try by ministers across government to try and come up with policy announcements during the conference to take or try and end the kind of discussion of Brexit itself to try and come up with new policy announcements, and you can see that in other areas of policy by ministers during the Conservative Party's conference.
And so, you know, if we looked at this, who is this announcement for? Do you see it as more for domestic consumption or international consumption?
Yeah, I mean, I think inevitably it plays both ways in a way. I mean, there's definitely a desire to speak to kind of reiterate the importance of NATO after Brexit. There's a sense to try, you know, Britain's always cooperated with Norway in Arctic winter training. Particularly the Royal Marines have always trained in northern Norway, and they always had that role as part of NATO during the Cold War, and some of the elements about submarines and new kind of submarine patrols under the ice and things like that. There's definitely an attempt there to kind of reiterate that kind of traditional role that the United Kingdom had during the Cold War. There's obviously also a desire, I think, to try and flag to Russia that there's lots of increasing tension and relations, and this is quite a clear attempt to show that this is still important, and certainly that's how some members of the Ministry of Defence have been trying to state it. But also, I think, casting another eye on it, we can also think about how it's a kind of a brief response, almost policy response, that there will be a new Defence Arctic strategy in due course. Some of the announcements are possibly suggestions of what may happen, and the fact that there will be a new Arctic strategy, rather than it kind of being, the details being ironed out. So that I think that the particular timing of that is significant. And also, I think there is a message there to military and armed forces in Britain as well. There was a lot of anxiety in the Admiralty, but I think more widely about the future of the Royal Marines in recent years, about some anxieties that in a kind of era of cuts in public spending, they were going to be an area that were potentially targeted for cuts and things. And this is a kind of, as well as everything else, it's kind of earmarking the kind of a key role for the Royal Marine Commandos in future British defence policy, and also putting the Arctic back within UK defence policy as central, which is what happened during the Cold War. So we can see that there's a restatement of that, but it's also speaking to an argument of what some of the what we call the Brexit wing of the Conservative Party have been kind of pushing for as a kind of the future role for Britain in the world or whatever after Brexit.
And, you know, it's interesting, if we look at just recent years, the UK doesn't have an Arctic coastline. And usually when we see these discussions around military in the Arctic, we'll talk about Canada, who has very little infrastructure, versus Russia that has a lot. So yeah. UK is a country that doesn't have an Arctic coast. Why focus on the Arctic? Out of everything in the world and all of the areas of British influence, it doesn't have an Arctic coastline. So why would this sort of asserting itself as an actor in the North, you know, having infrastructure that can function in cold weather and the Arctic Ocean. What's your read on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think since 1945, and certainly until the kind of thawing of the Cold War, a central role of the United Kingdom was the sort of defense of the Greenland-Iceland-UK gap, as it was kind of called, and is sort of defense of that possible area in the North Atlantic from the Soviet Union. And that was how defense strategy and NATO defense strategy was designed. So obviously, within the kinds of notwithstanding the actual kind of coastline, that the argument that the Shetlands are only 50 miles away from the Arctic Ocean and things is a sort of an argument that has always had sway in sort of British military thinking, as it were, during the Cold War, and so there's definitely an era where there's anxiety about what Britain's future role in the world will be after Brexit. It's amongst that, arguably, there is amongst, you know, some proponents of that view, a nostalgia for an older a British role in the world. It's not that surprising that there's a kind of attempt to kind of hark back to that kind of important Cold War role. But yeah, at the same time, one could read it with that kind of, say, a more cynical eye, maybe. But at the same time, that it's also true that that there is an anxiety in NATO and in the in the UK and in other states as well about kind of increasing Russian activity across all sorts of spheres, and also in the Arctic, and also the return of rebuilding of infrastructure and at least new kind of activities by air and by sea, by the Russian armed forces and things. And so there is an anxiety about that. And so I think part of it is geopolitical, but part of it is also a desire to try and come up with new policies and answer the questions about what the future of the UK will look like, and the Arctic is being brought into that, as it has been in the past, and you know, as I'm sure all your listeners know, the UK has always had Britain has always had a kind of view of itself as being deeply implicated in kind of the Arctic and the Arctic imagination, the but well, both the United Kingdom government and the Scottish government have both issued policy frameworks recently that talked of themselves as the nearest neighbour of the Arctic. And so it absolutely plays into British kind of political thinking, both in kind of immediate policy terms, but also in sort of imaginations of Britain's place in the world, and has, like it has done for centuries, really.
And so now, what should we be looking for in the months ahead when it comes to UK Arctic policy?
In terms of defence strategy, I think we'll be looking to see how this translates. This is, like I said a minute ago, this is sort of a kind of a taste or a preview of what this the new Arctic defence strategy will look like. So part of it will be to see, will these, well, I'm sure the military and Ministry of Defence will be interested to see whether these new P-8 Poseidon sub-hunters will come through, whether the investment in the Marines and Arctic warfare training, the cooperation with Norway that's being promised and things, whether they all start to happen and come to fruition in the coming months as the policy is published. And also, to kind of put it in the context that wider Arctic policy framework was published earlier this year as well, and also talked about Britain's kind of commercial opportunities and involvement in aspects of economic activity and development and opportunities and things in the Arctic. And I think sort of seeing how those things play off against each other, I think, will be important. But I do think all of these things are within the shadow of Brexit and the Brexit conversations and things. And how exactly this may all play out does depend on this. And that's why it is not a coincidence that this was announced quickly on a Saturday at the conference, because it's an attempt to try and set, light new policy goals and show new policy agendas. But these things could change depending on how the Brexit situation evolves, I think.
Well, Richard Powell, a lot to keep in mind as the story unfolds. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.